Welcome to the Mentoring Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Jans. Today on the Mentoring Minute Podcast, we have a conversation with Donovan Carber. Donovan is the National Field Director for the Christian Association of Youth Mentoring, an umbrella organization that serves churches and faith organizations in the U.S. and in Canada. We connected with him over Skype. He's at home in Wichita, Kansas, at his office, and we had a chance to chat with him about mentoring, faith organizations, the importance of supporting youth, and many other interesting topics. I found the conversation highly beneficial, and whether you're a member of a church congregation who does mentoring and you've been thinking about how to get your church involved, or whether you're a church member looking for ideas on how to get a program started, there's lots of great resources in this conversation, as well as trailheads to further resources online. I encourage you to check out their website. It's caym.org. So without further ado, here's the conversation with Donovan. Thank you very much for joining us, Donovan. We're really pleased to have a conversation with you and to hear about the work that you're doing for kids. I thought to get started, it might be helpful to talk about how you define mentoring and what the scope of your programs are.
Yeah, you know, I think starting off defining mentoring, I think the key to mentoring is that an adult is able to build a trusting relationship with a youth. And so that's really the key to mentoring. That is what makes it successful. And so, you know, we work with a lot of programs. And so whether it's a community-based program where an adult meets with a youth out in the community somewhere, or a site-based program where they meet at a school or an organization, or, you know, group mentoring or mentoring inside some sort of institution, you know, the key there and the way that I would define it is that there is some one-on-one contact there. You've got to have that in order to build that trust relationship.
Now, like the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, the Christian Association of Youth Mentoring, you don't necessarily deliver the mentoring program yourself. You exist to support others in their programs. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we don't actually provide any mentoring. We just train and equip and continue to support churches and organizations that want to start a mentoring program.
And how long has the CAYM been in service?
Yeah, they've been in service since 2005. And so during that time, we've helped over 400 churches and nonprofits start mentoring programs.
And you yourself were once a mentor, is that correct?
Yeah, that's actually how I initially got involved with mentoring. When I was in my early 20s, I had a good friend of mine that was part of a mentoring program and asked me if I would consider mentoring a boy. And, you know, at that time really didn't know what mentoring was, but got involved and started mentoring this young man and just really had a passion for it. And so I've continued to mentor, probably 7 or 8 other boys throughout that, throughout the past 20 years.
And you mentioned that the CAYM has reach across the United States, not just Kansas.
That's right. Yep. We're definitely, we've trained programs all over the United States, definitely programs in Canada and a few, abroad as well.
So if a church here in Alberta is interested in learning about setting up a mentoring program or getting involved in mentoring, they can check out your tools and your website?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can go to our website. It's www.caym.org. And we actually have a great initial resource for a church or organization that's looking to start a mentoring program. It's called our First Steps document, and that's something you can download and get more information on our website. So that'd really be the starting point.
So why in your opinion is it important that faith organizations get involved in mentoring in particular in their service?
Yeah, you know, I think in our society today, there's such a need out there. There's so many kids that really need to have someone just be there and give some extra support and guidance. You know, I'm not sure what I should have done some research as far as the Canadian statistics, but in the United States, 40% of all kids born are born to unwed mothers at this point. So, you know, there's just a great need out there for a kid to have someone else kind of come alongside and help them along. And so, you know, I think the church is really has a great opportunity to not only reach kids within their church that have needs, but also to reach out into their community as well, because there's just a lot of kids and families that could really use the support of a mentor.
If you were speaking with a church that didn't necessarily have a faith mentoring program, but there were strong community-based programs, what would you counsel them to do?
So you're saying they have a mentoring program, but it's not really a faith-based program?
Yeah, say there was a community-based Big Brothers Big Sisters or Scouts program or some other community organization. Do you encourage people to start mentoring, even if it's outside of the church?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the church has to kind of look at what, you know, determine what they want to do. But if they, you know, see a need and want to get involved with mentoring, I think an easy way to do that would be just connecting with a existing mentoring program. So, you know, a current Big Brothers Big Sisters program. That'd be great. But I know there are a lot of churches out there that they want to have more ownership of it, and they also want to include kids within their church. And so if, you know, if that's something that a church is wanting to do, then we can definitely help connect you so that you can start a mentoring program that follows mentoring best practices, which is very, very important that you know, you develop a program that is safe and effective and sustainable.
I think we both share a passion for the elements of effective mentoring guidelines that mentor, the National Mentoring Partnership, shares. It's very important to have those, the background, the screening, the monitoring, the closure for the kids, and that's something we try and share with our different organizations and encourage them to take up, no matter where they are in their organizational process. If you were speaking with a church without a faith mentoring program, you indicated you have that first steps document. What are some of the barriers you typically encounter to getting a program started, and how do you advise overcoming them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we've got a kind of unique model with mentoring and within church communities is that we look at developing a volunteer team within the church, and you know, having a team of anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 people that we train on the best practices, and they actually run the mentoring program. And so I think one of the challenges is finding a team leader, someone that will champion that within the church. So I mean, that would be one barrier, and you know, we've been able to work through that with a lot of churches if we are in contact with them, and we can just kind of brainstorm with them potential people that could help take that type of leadership role.
What sort of a funding commitment do you typically advise that the churches have in terms of capital to get the program started?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's really one of the benefits of this model, having a volunteer-led model, because it is it's fairly cost effective, and it does not take a lot of money up front to develop a mentoring program. And let me say what we're looking at with churches is really, you know, looking at mentoring anywhere from 10 to 25 kids for a church to be able to do that, and that's really what we're looking at. So we're looking at a little bit smaller program than say some of your Big Brothers Big Sisters that, you know, mentor hundreds of kids. But I guess our philosophy is if we get a couple hundred churches to mentor 25 kids, then that
that makes a lot of impact.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of upfront commitment. You've got volunteer team, so you're not you don't have paid staff. Most churches that we work with, they will allow the mentoring program to be housed within their church, so maybe have one office or room that they could use. Oftentimes, one-on-one mentoring will also fall underneath the church's liability insurance.
Oh, so, yeah, that's very important.
So it, you know, there's not an extra expense for that. And then most churches that we work with, they also already do background checks for any of their workers that work with any of their children within their church. So they've already got that system set up. And so most of the churches, if they make the commitment to start a mentoring program, oftentimes they will go ahead and pay for the background checks for the mentors as well. So really that's, you know, when you look at mentoring programs, the big cost is staff, building, liability insurance, and you know, a lot of that stuff is already covered. I guess the other thing is you don't necessarily at first need to start a separate nonprofit for a mentoring program. You can really just go underneath the church.
Yeah, that removes some of those logistical barriers that can, for a volunteer who might be passionate just about helping kids, that those are headaches they may not want to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what we've seen is, you know, some of the programs as they grow, we definitely had programs that, you know, mentor a couple hundred kids. And so, you know, we tell them to start small, learn the best practices, get your feet wet, and then scale it up as you want. And as you scale it, if you find a need that you need to develop a separate nonprofit, then you can do that when needed. So
what do you find sets the sustainable mentoring programs apart from some of the other ones that might sort of be a little more start-stop?
Yeah. You know, it's your team members, that's definitely important that you get good team members up front, a good team leader, and then it's really following best practices. I mean, that's we have a training that we train churches, and it's just really drilling the best practices in, and that is what keeps a program sustainable. You know, you've got to screen your volunteers, you've got to train them, and you've got to continue to support the matches, and if you do that, you'll have a sustainable program.
One of the pieces I was looking at that you had on your website was training around conflict resolution in mentoring relationships. There's a few of those specific resources that you have to speak to different challenges that I found most helpful. What would you say are the most frequent requests from your members that you're asked for assistance in?
Yeah, you know, I think you probably once you get mentoring matches going, there are challenges and issues that come up within matches, and so I would say that some of the key issues, I think one, that there can be you know, just some cultural and probably socioeconomic differences between the mentors and the kids and their families often. And so I think those can sometimes develop some challenges and create some barriers. And And so you do have to use a little bit of conflict resolution at times to work with the mentor, the kid, and the parent, just to work through those issues. I think, you know, if the mentor, the family, or kid have different expectations going into to what mentoring is, I think that's definitely a challenge and can be a barrier in the mentoring relationship. I mean, that's why it's so key, and that's one thing that we would train on, is making sure everybody has the same expectation going into the mentoring match. So I would say those are probably a couple of the key things. Maybe one other is that I think parents sometimes, initially they may want their kid to have a mentor, but then when they see the mentoring relationship develop and they see how much fun their kid has with the mentor and how much the kid enjoys being with the mentor, that the parent can become a little jealous because they have to do the normal parenting tasks, and this mentor gets to go out and have fun with their kid, and all their kid does is talks about all the fun things that they get to do. And so, I think that's another issue that can come up as well.
Here in Canada, and I believe it's true in the United States too, we have much, much longer wait lists of young men and boys who need mentors than young women. Are there any strategies or tactics that the CAYM has employed to try and attract more male mentors?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the keys for recruiting men to mentor is that you're most effective if you have someone that knows a person, ask them face-to-face, one-on-one. So giving a personal invitation for them to mentor or look into mentoring, to learn more about mentoring. And so with our church-based model, what we do is we develop a team at the church, and then we have them brainstorm anyone in the church that could be a good potential mentor. And then we have them make a list of the people that they know personally, and we have them ask the person one-on-one if they would be interested in learning more about the mentoring program. And so that has been really effective in getting more men. So
really focusing on the direct ask, the identifying volunteers, and removing that sort of that uncomfortable maybe willingness to express interest in the program?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you just give a broad presentation to a group of people, I would say that what I've experienced, that's not real effective in recruiting men. You may get some, but you have a much higher percentage of men following through and becoming mentors with a direct personal ask.
So you're obviously a believer in mentoring. You've seen the difference it makes in kids' lives. You yourself have been a mentor for many years. What made you believe in the power of mentoring, and why it's such an effective strategy to make a difference for kids?
Yeah. When I worked with an organization, it's called Youth Horizons here in Wichita. It's has a mentoring program where we worked with about 150 kids and mentors. And so I would interview all the families and kids that came into our mentoring program. And so early on, I'm sitting there and I'm, asking them about, why would you want to mentor for your kid? Tell me what's going on, and just hearing some of the challenging circumstances and environments that just so many of the kids and families were in. And by the grace of God, I was born into a family that was somewhat I guess, somewhat normal, somewhat stable. And but you know, that experience really made me think that I could have just as easily been born into their family and their situation, their circumstances. And you know, I would not have been doing well in their situations. And so, you know, one thing that's really given me a passion is I know I can't, you know, can't change their parents, can't add a dad to, you know, to their family. But I really believe that the next best thing that you could do is you could bring in a positive adult role model that could walk with the kid and just have fun and bring some added support and encouragement to their life. And so I've just seen, you know, over the past 20 years of being in mentoring field, how that does make a huge impact. And so I'm definitely sold on it.
Yeah.
Mentoring work, and it makes a big difference. And, you know, if you're out there listening to this, you should really consider being a mentor. What you're talking about is not only do you have the opportunity to impact a kid, but you have an opportunity to impact the kid's family and also the kid's children in the future. You positively impact this kid, and you're also impacting the next generation.
Your passion is contagious. How do you, as a mentoring leader, sharpen the saw, so to speak? How do you refine your own skills and abilities and programs? Where do you look to for professional development and assistance in bettering your programs?
Yeah, you know, I think just always trying to keep up on the latest research. Michael had mentioned the National Mentoring Partnership. They do a great job of providing up-to-date research, mentoring tools. So, I mean, that's definitely one. I think the other thing is just trying to stay connected to the mentoring field with practitioners who are out there in the field, and just staying current with the challenges that they're facing and the issues that they're dealing with. And for me, I mean, I think that it's helpful for me to be mentoring a kid. So that's something I hope to always do throughout my life, is to be able to do that. I think that really keeps you connected to mentoring when you've got a kid that you're mentoring. And you know, mentoring is great, but it's also challenging at times. And so, you know, being there and facing challenges and you know, also having a lot of fun, I think that helps keep you sharpened and also, I guess, sober in some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So if a Canadian church is listening to this podcast and they're looking for more information, do you welcome involvement or questions from across the 49th parallel?
Absolutely. We would love to help whoever. And so, yeah, absolutely. If you have questions or any way that we could be of help, I mentioned this to Michael that we have been working with Promise Keepers Canada, which has, they work with a lot of men within churches across Canada and provide, they have different events, but one thing that they've been focusing on the last couple of years is mentoring and trying to get that developed. And so we've been working with them in helping them develop mentoring best practices. So, you know, I would love to connect with you and also, you know, if there was an option to connect with them as well, or you know, also connecting with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, I think that would be great as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the final question we'd turn over to you, is there anything else you'd like to share or any questions that you thought we might have asked that we missed?
I guess in just in conclusion, I'm sold on mentoring. I've seen it work. I've seen it have a huge impact, not only on the kids and families, but also on the mentors. I can definitely say that I've got two kids now. I've got a 1-year-old and 4-year-old daughter, and it's having mentoring experience has made me a better parent. And I've seen with people that are older, where their kids are already left the home, that it makes them better grandparents. And so, mentoring is definitely going to benefit the kid, but it's also going to have a great benefit for you as well.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for speaking with us today and sharing. And I absolutely was inspired reading your page about the potential there for churches across North America, across the world. And as we move forward with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership, we know that we've had expressions of interest from different churches and different faith communities that we would like to support. So having a knowledge of the resources that you provide is most helpful as well.